WM.com.
This is an editorial statement from the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Board of Directors. The current treatment of migrants and asylum seekers by our national government has reached the point of cruelty and human rights abuses. Daily, we hear the stories of families separated, children deprived of basic sanitation, and people locked in crowded spaces for weeks on end. This is an unacceptable way to treat anyone. We urge U.S. Customs and Border Protection and Health and Human Services to find a humane solution immediately at whatever the necessary cost. We urge our listeners to contact their congressperson and U.S. senators to voice their opposition and to donate to nonprofit organizations like the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, Kids in Need of Defense, and Freedom for Immigrants, who provide legal counsel and monitoring. We believe our country can and should be better than this.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we talk about water in Florida and who has the right to use it and for what purposes. The giant international corporation Nestle wants to take more than 1 million gallons of water per day from springs near Ginny Springs and the Santa Fe River and put it into plastic bottles and sell it at a tremendous markup. Our guest today says that Florida can't afford to give away its dwindling natural resources. What do you think? Here's the number to call in, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj at wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. So thanks so much for joining the show today. And joining us on the phone is our guest, Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. She's a board member with Our Santa Fe Incorporated. And last week, she co-authored an op-ed that was published in the Orlando Sentinel. It's called Nestle Taking Water from the Aquifer for Private Profit Isn't in the Public Interest. Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint, Marilee.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Hi, thanks so much for being on today. So tell our listeners where you are in the state, and for people who aren't familiar with that part of Florida, what can you say about how common springs are right there?
Mm-hmm. Well, we like to call this area the Florida Springs Heartland, if that gives the listeners any idea of how abundant our freshwater springs are in this region. I'm actually located between Gainesville and Lake City on the western side of I-75. So the Santa Fe River is a tributary into the Suwannee River, and the Itchituckney is a tributary into the Santa Fe River. So we're kind of nestled in between an enormous amount of fresh water pouring out of our aquifer, but also these areas are also recharged for our Floridan aquifer.
And the Floridan aquifer is where most of Floridians get their drinking water.
Yes. In fact, all the way down to South Florida, most of the Floridians get it from the Floridan, and the recharge is constantly under threat in that we're seeing more and more development here in North Florida and also more extraction of our precious groundwater resources that not only feed the springs but feed you and I in our drinking water supply.
One of the extractions that you've been concentrating on lately, including in that op-ed that I mentioned, is the giant corporation Nestle wants to bottle water from, it's called, the water permit is owned by a company called Seven Springs Water, and they applied to the Suwannee River Water Management District for a 5-year renewal of a permit, and there's a bottling plant near High Springs, and you write that Nestle plans increased production. Why do you say that they are planning to produce more bottled water here than currently is happening at that bottling plant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Nestle has a history here in Florida. Many of your listeners may or may not know Zephyr Hills is a company that that Nestle bottles water under that name brand. They also bottle a name brand Poland Springs or something to that effect somewhere else in the country. However, in Florida, they also bottle water not only at the Zephyr Hills location, but which is just outside of the Hillsborough area, but they also bottle water in Madison County, huge, huge facilities that are using our fresh water and putting it in plastic and sending it around the world. And so occasionally at both of these plants, they have complications and with their water supply. In Madison, for instance, the water browns out when we get high water levels, and they have to get their water resources from other outside sources other than the well itself where they have their plant. And so we know for a fact that they do inter-district transference of water, which has its own issues in Florida. We used to believe that that was not allowed. Well, there are memos of agreements between the water management districts that allow these transferences of water to take place. So they have this water resource where there was an existing facility on County Road 340 where Coca-Cola Denali bottled water, where Ice River Springs, the Canadian company, bottled water, and then prior to those two companies, two other bottling companies were there bottling water. So four companies have already been here and gone. And so now Nestle strategically has a logistical position where they can get this enormous amount of water. The permit that was on the books 20 years ago that was allowed 20 years ago before we had all the science that we have today, of course, they were allowed to take 1,152,000 gallons a day out of two bore wells that are located very close to the Santa Fe River Springs on in the Ginny Springs Park system, the Ginny Springs campground system. So the water that they want to use in the past, or the water that had been being used in the past, they only bottled, these other facilities, these other four companies, only bottled up to approximately 300,000 gallons of water a day. 270 to 300,000. They could never bottle that much water. The plant itself has been built out several times. In fact, Nestle right today is getting ready for another expansion project, and that expansion project is widening the road for more truck traffic at their facility, building a bulk transfer station for fresh water. The actual facility have a bulk transfer station, and building a bulk transfer station for wastewater. The wastewater is a scratching our head thing. We don't really quite understand how bottled water creates waste, but we'll get to that sometime down the road when we get further down the road with this extraction of this permit situation. So we're talking about an increase of 4 to 5 times more than what they have in the past extracted, even though they were allowed to extract 1,152,000 gallons a day. They didn't. And this Nestle model, if you will, model of let's take all the water we can get from the local sources and put it in plastic, this model shows us that they intend to take that water because they can just ship it to their other facilities and bottle it in the other facilities. So we're going to be seeing our local communities, who have no voice in this whatsoever because it's a corporation and it's an industry and it's existed before. When those other facilities, CCBA, for instance, Coca-Cola Denali, when they were existing, High Springs and Fort White downtown was faced with a tremendous amount of truck traffic that, frankly, we haven't seen in years. Ice River Springs never bottled as much as the CCBA plant. CCBA plant ran 24/7. They employed a lot of people. This facility, the last one, Ice River Springs, employed a fraction of the amount of people. They did not run full throttle. And if you're talking about the amount of water over 1 million gallons, they will run full throttle. They will take every drop they can take and put it in plastic and send around the world. So our local communities are also going to be impacted not only by extraction of our freshwater resources, but also by the amount of truck traffic associated with these types of industries.
Our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. She's a board member with Our Santa Fe River Incorporated. Last week, she co-authored an op-ed that was published in the Orlando Sentinel called Nestle Taking Water from the Aquifer for Private Profit Isn't in the Public Interest. And if you'd like to join this conversation, we have a few people on the line already. But if you'd like to send us an email, you can send us a question at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885 or phone 813-239-9663. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. It's 12:15 in the afternoon. We will go to the phone lines in just a second, but I have a couple more quick questions for Marilee before we open up the phones. So they're asking for a water permit renewal for 5 years, but the permit renewal comes with qualifications, of course. So do you, in your opinion, and I mean I know the answer because I've read what you've written about this, but why do you think that they will not meet the permit requirements?
Well, you know, when we're talking about a five-year Band-Aid, they're trying to say to the water managers that we don't have to do the studies because it's only 5 years. That's all we're going to take. And so the water managers issued now two requests for additional information. Both of them have not fulfilled what the water managers believe that they should fulfill in order to get this water use. And so the ideal thing is to do a 20-year study to show impacts of our groundwater resources. And when we're talking about a waterway that's already impaired, we already have a recovery plan in place with our minimum flows and levels, our MFLs. We're showing that we don't have enough water in the basin, despite the fact that we might have a lot of rain today, because we certainly have had a lot of rain lately. That's just a sign of climate changes, right? So we've had a drought for 17 years just recently, that now we're out of the drought and now we're into these tremendous amount of rain conditions. And ultimately, when we look at the graphs associated with the Floridan Aquifer, which is where really this water is coming from, it is on a downward decline. So the science that they're going to have to prove that they're not going to have harm, I think they're going to have a hard time proving it, and that's one reason these RAIs have not been fulfilled yet. As far as the water for free, the people that are getting paid for this is the corporate family members, the corporate people that own the company called Seven Springs Bottling. So Nestle does pay somebody. They don't pay the state of Florida, and neither does Seven Springs Bottling, but somebody does get paid, and that's something we in the state of Florida need to be looking at a little harder. Why are bottling companies that are out in these rural places, not the ones that are bottling through municipality outsources, but why are the ones out in the rural places not paying the state of Florida for the amount of water that they're extracting when they are commodifying it? And when we, like our organization, for example, we do a tremendous amount of environmental cleanups, river cleanups, roadway cleanups, what have you, and we are picking up their trash. So not only are they getting the water technically for free, but now we have to sit around or have to spend our time and energy, rather, to go out into the world to pick up the bottled water trash. It's a model that is completely old world, in a sense, old world, new world. It's not that old of a model, but we also see the harms that bottled water has created on our to our planet. And then the bigger problem, honestly, Sean, is that it makes the communities that can't have, for one reason or another, can't have the infrastructure that's required for them to have safe drinking water, it makes those communities beholden on a corporate company to supply them with their life-giving sustenance through a bottle, when we should be making companies or businesses or governments improve the conditions of these infrastructures in terms of pipes and municipality sources so that they can drink the water from their own source, from their own tap water, versus having it come in through a truck or through some other means of transport from our rural communities.
Our guest is Marilee Malowitz-Gibson. She's a board member with our Santa Fe River. We're talking about the springs in North Florida and in West Central Florida, and about how companies come in and bottle the water and then sell it at a huge markup. And if you'd like to join this conversation, you can call in to 813-239-9663. I have lots more questions for you, but I'm going to go to our listeners for just a bit, if that's okay. Let me read one email that came in from David. He says, Nestle is now running ads on local TV. The company claims in the ads to be a great corporate community partner. And David says, but I think this is all BS. This ad campaign reminds me of the Mosaic Phosphate Company's sketchy PR campaign that has featured ads on local TV for many years. David concludes, it's time to reclaim our water and dump Nestle. So that's one emailer's thoughts. You can email dj@wmnf.org. We have a few people on the line, but I'm going to go to Kaylee first. Kaylee, you're in Zephyr Hills. What is your experience with Zephyr Hills and bottled water?
Exactly. That makes it an interesting for me. We have so much traffic in this town as it is, and the thought of more traffic around the Nestle plant, which, you know, ultimately impacts the Chancy Road, which is very heavily traveled, and 301. I read a little blurb about this the other day, which probably was a result of the Ed piece, and it was literally just a little blurb, and I thought, you're kidding me, big news like this, and that's all I'm reading. And I was very alarmed. I think the point that really really concerns me, besides local traffic and just that I think it's very invasive to come into communities, like your guest was saying, and take all of this water, and what do we get from it? Nothing. But I last night watched a documentary on Netflix about plastics, and it made me even more concerned. We don't have solutions to this plastic problem, and we're talking about expanding what they're taking and more, you know, it's just vast promotion for bottled water. Every store you go in, one of the first things you see is an end cap with tons of cases of water on it, and we need to get away from that. We don't need to be producing more.
Well, Kaylee, thanks for that perspective. I appreciate you telling us about the traffic in Zephyr Hills, but I want to go to Marilee and see if you have anything more to add about what Kaylee was saying about her experience in Zephyr Hills.
Yeah, I'm with her on that. And when our organization got organized back in 2006 to fight for bottling plants that were on the horizon in the Santa Fe River, we got the public engaged and we were successful in stopping them. But the very first thing that we said to the public was stop drinking it. And that was like, oh, you know, well, you know, so my water's bad. Fort White has bad water where this, you know, oh, another part of this puzzle. Fort White has bad water where most people don't want to drink the municipality water. High Springs has bad water when we have a lot of rain problems that get the water ends up in the lines that are connected to the fresh water supply and people have to boil their water. Brantford, same thing right up the road. They've got problems with their water on occasion. So we have a situation where supposedly people need it, but what we really need are better infrastructure. What we really need is to look hard at what is going on with our lines, our fresh water lines that come into our homes, what's going on with our well water, how do we filter it, how do we make it so we can drink it. I haven't touched bottled water ever since I moved here. So, and I've been here for 16 years, so I haven't needed it, I haven't wanted it, and I'm alive. I'm alive, I think I'm healthy. So the idea that we have to be consuming bottled water, it's just a marketing ploy that the industry believes that with their marketing, like your last email said, they will market anything that makes them sell more. And to think that that's how you have to drink your water, it's just wrong. And the places in New Jersey and in Michigan and in the other places where they do have bad water, that's a whole other problem, again, that needs to be resolved with the municipality water systems, the lines that actually go into their home and where their sources are coming from. And those are the things we really need to be focused on, not allowing big corporate interests to come in and bottle more water.
Our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. She's a board member with Our Santa Fe River. We're talking about how Nestle wants to take water from the aquifer for private profit, and this is up near the Panhandle, I guess North Florida, not quite to the Panhandle, Ginny Springs area, Santa Fe River area. And if you'd like to weigh in, 813-239-9663, you might want to hang tight. We have all the lines filled right now, but you can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Again, our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. And let me read this question from Ron before we go to the phones. Back to the phones. Ron in West Tampa asks, is it even worth the time for us in Tampa to go to any meetings up there to speak out against this? And he goes on to say, I suggest that everybody boycott every single bottled water company, put filtered tap water in your own reusable bottles, and just do not buy plastic water bottles. So those are a couple of things that Ron is saying. Let me ask you this, Marilee. Are there meetings up there before the Suwannee River Water Management District or any other meetings where people can speak out?
So in terms of meetings, what we're doing to apply public interest tests, which is part of the process to even issue this bottled water permit, is we're asking people to go directly to the portal where this permit is being decided at the Water Management District website. And our Santa Fe River, oursantaferiver.org, they have a page set up, an action alert on their website. And if you go to the action alert, it actually connect you into how to make a comment. And that's where we really want people to be making comments. Having people drive from every part of Florida to come to our place up here to go to a meeting That's not necessary yet. Sometime between October and January is when this permit is actually going to come before the board. We may call on people to attend those meetings, but right now, putting those comments into the portal, that is gold right now to us. And meaningful comments, not the snarky Facebook, social media type of comment. We want something that has some teeth to it so that we can fight it in public interest and show that, you know, the public is educated. They know what they're talking about, and this is what they want to say to the government entity, which is the Suwannee River Water Management District, who is deciding this permit.
And this afternoon, I will put links to all these all this information on our website, WMNF.org, if people want to go there for a one-stop shop for all this information. But I just want to remind you that our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson with Our Santa Fe River Incorporated. Let's go to some people who have been holding a long time. They really wanted to weigh in on this early. So Libby in Palm Harbor, you're on the air. Hi, Libby.
Yes, hi. I've lived in Florida the better part of my 75 years, and have had the pleasure of tubing on Inchituckney Spring and going to Silver Springs, and I know the value of our wonderful spring system. I also know that everything is becoming more and more stressed. The effluent, the red tide, the very fact that at certain points, right up there in your area, the water's coming out brown and they have to switch around and go to different bottling plants. We have a very delicate aquifer. And as it is, there are so many stresses upon it. I cannot believe we are selling. I didn't realize that the bottled water industry was so big. Of course, Zephyr Hills Water, there it is right on the shelf. While we are trying with one hand to stop and ban single-use plastic, we are selling to a company that is doing exactly that. I think it's the biggest scam that has ever been perpetrated on the world, this idea of bottled water for anybody except if you live in Northern Africa. I mean, we don't need it. We don't need it. And I applaud anything you're doing that would keep from expanding an industry which we should be gradually getting away from. I'll stop and listen on the radio now.
Well, thanks so much, Libby. I appreciate that call. Thank you for that. And I don't know, do you have anything to respond to that, Marilee, or do you want to go to the next call?
Oh, gosh, I could respond to everybody's comments.
Well, go ahead.
So one of the interesting things one of the water managers said to me was, well, when I asked him, like, well, you know, what if you just pulled the permit back even to the 200,000-300,000 kind of mark? You know, we really don't want that, but, you know, we don't want him to take all the water that's in this permit. And the comment was, well, that's going to depend on what the water bottling wants. I said, what are you talking about, what the water bottling wants? What about the natural resources in terms of harm and effect? And he said, well, if the science shows that they can take that water, then, you know, that's going to be based on what they want. And what's, again, missing is that the public does not want them to take it out of these natural resources because it does create harm in one way or another in our water bodies. It's a time today where we're looking at corporations that are extractive and that use our natural environments, use our natural ecosystems for their profit and gain, and that model has to change. I don't know if it goes back to the idea of the robber barons or the people that the gold... gold had a value, and that was what we based all our economy on, and then silver became value, and that's what we based our economy on. We're basing our value on natural resources instead of basing the value on keeping them in their places, keeping those natural resources as they exist, as they flourish today. I'm actually part and parcel to that movement that's building, that's gaining ground for giving the rights of nature rights, giving nature rights. Because I recognize that the corporation structures as they exist today are the things that are actually breaking the systems apart. They're breaking these natural systems so that they do not exist and flourish. And so, let's save that one for another day. But yeah, I think that the idea of putting our natural resource in a plastic bottle is just heinous in this day and age.
And what would withdrawing this water do to the Santa Fe River Basin? Maybe if you could tell us what it was like before and how it's changing with more and more water being withdrawn.
Well, we can see that as it exists even today, where we're seeing, like when we had our drought situations and there was a lot of water being extracted, the people downstream from that particular area of Florida that had lived there, you know, 20, 30-year people, lived here a long time, even born and raised people, they said, oh, our levels are so much further down. When that plant came in, everything changed. So they're seeing results of impacts not only from this bottled water resource, but there's other extractive resources in our area that are extraction companies that are taking our resources. So we know that there is a conduit that is directly tied with this particular permit to Ginny Springs itself. Ginny Springs pumps a tremendous amount of water out of the spring head every day, but we also have a situation where we have recharge in this particular area of the Santa Fe River, and so we're very concerned that water will not go back into recharge. It doesn't just flow out to the Suwannee River like people like to pretend, like, oh, it just goes out to sea. It doesn't. Where we are on the Santa Fe River, not only do we have output, we actually have input. So it's a very sensitive system, and I hope that the hydrologist that does the science will be watching it very closely. When it does come in, we're definitely going to see an impact in one way or another on this particular spring and system of the Ginny Springs. Actually, it's really called in technical books that you see today in the government books, we're calling it the Devil's Eye, Devil's Ear. System, I think that's not right, but something like that. They're not calling it the Ginny Springs system anymore. They've changed the terminology to the Devil's Eye, Devil's Ear complex. And that spring complex also touches on Rum Island Spring. It also touches on July Spring. It also touches on all the springs in Ginny and Dogwood, all the springs that are located in this proximity to one another. I think we'll see changes. I mean, I think we'll see impacts when Nestle does complete the science, and I think that's one reason why they don't want to finish that RAI, that request for additional information, that would show what is the science.
Because the government is the water management districts are requiring Nestle to say, here's what the impact would be.
That's correct. That is exactly what they're asking for.
Our guest is Marilee Melwitz-Gibson. She's a board member with Our Santa Fe River Incorporated. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:33 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday. And today we're having a discussion about Florida's springs and the water that comes out of the aquifer and who has the right to that water and how much is enough and how much is too much to take out. And we have a whole bank of phone lines. Let me read one quick email, and I'll go back to the phones. Charles in Tampa says, I'll vote for Ron. I think it's because Ron talked about a boycott of bottled water earlier. And Charles says, bottled water is a completely unnecessary, contrived industry, a perfect example of the negative aspects of capitalism like demand creation. Get an absolute 1 micron water filter and don't support the evil interests by being lazy and spending more per gallon on water than we do on gasoline. Those are the comments from an email from Charles in Tampa. So thank you for that. Stephen in Riverview, you've been holding a long time. What's on your mind, Stephen?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm a third generation Floridian and also own property up by the springs. But first off, I'd like to say that I think a company that extracts the resource and makes a profit from it should probably pay at least double the amount that a residential customer pays. So if they're on a private well, they need to be immediately taxed. That's if they're allowed to, I guess. Because really, I guess what I look at is the state here, if you look at its history, has been built on selling people this Florida dream of this beautiful environment that we have. So that's and that's really what our state has been built on, and our tax structure reflects that. So I guess what I'm, and maybe you can address this after, but I guess what I'm curious about is whether or not the legislators have a fiduciary or some type of legal responsibility to protect the natural resources that we have because it is tied to this development that we need, because our tax structure is essentially a Ponzi scheme. It requires new people coming in to pay for the old. But I'm all for education. right? I'm all for education, education people about this issue. But what I'd like to do is figure out how we can actually compel our legislators to rein these corporations in.
All right, Stephen, thanks for that point. Let's see how Marilee would respond.
Yeah, I am in agreement. And I think it's not just these types of corporations. We're also looking at something like Mosaic and other mining interests in the state of Florida, like Nutrien, where up in my region, and other corporate large corporations like the pulp mill industry, like Buckeye, and the Koch brothers that own so many of these corporate businesses in Florida that use our water for their means to their financial means. And so I think that when we look at those types of ideas where they should be paying for our water use, we need to be looking at all the corporate structures in the state of Florida and how are those industries supporting or paying for the destruction of our water resources, because what we're seeing with the pollution, I'm going to get off track a little bit, but in terms of pollution, point source pollution, and who's contributing to those problems, they're the very industries that are also usurping our water supply. So how do we get them to pay a tax? I think it's going to take legislators and citizens supporting those legislation arrangements to make corporate interests in the state of Florida pay tax. If anything, we roll out the red carpet for them and we give them tax breaks. Why are we giving these corporations tax breaks to come and pollute Florida and to use up our natural resources? It's the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen in terms of a state in the United States, that Florida just rolls it out, and we have the Department of Economic Opportunity to do that for us, where this interest, they didn't even want, Nestle didn't even want to come in here years ago, because I talked to them. I have the opportunity to talk to people that work for Nestle at the water management meetings on a monthly basis, and I knew they didn't want to come into here because they said our river had issues, had problems. But also the interesting thing that Nestle is possibly embracing is that there are people like me, organizations like us, that, you know, that do the hard work, the heavy lift, to actually protect our water resources. So it would be a perfect situation for them to come in, because we're already working toward protecting it. But ultimately, I think there should be a tax. I think that time has come. And for somebody to say, oh, if you tax the bottled water, I won't be able to afford it, it's just ridiculous. The amount of tax that you're talking, or that somebody might be talking about, is like six cents on the dollar, or some increment below or 6 cents. That it would be a tiered structure, because probably farming or ag interest or something related to ag interest anywhere would be far less than something like a consumable bottled water product. And something like mining, who's going to reuse their water, hopefully, God only knows. I don't know, mining is a big mess up here too, where we are. We don't like the miners any more than anybody else for the pollution toll that they are responsible in the state of Florida. But there should be a tiered structure where at least there's a pool of money resources that goes into a particular account, not in the general revenue fund, not for somebody else to take it out like they did with Amendment 1 money, with the conservation land money, but it goes into a particular money pool that actually protects our water resources, has an intent that way.
So Nestle would have to pay for permits if they do get this, if they're granted this permit to get, and that's probably a very small amount, but how much would they pay, let's say they withdraw 1 million gallons a day, how much would Nestle have to pay for that water to the state of Florida?
Today, nothing. Today, it's zero. I mean, they can withdraw all they want. And as far as the permit goes, Seven Springs Bottling Company is the one that paid for the permit, and I think it was $120 or $130 a one-time fee. So, you know, no, they don't have to pay anything. And so the local people up here that want the jobs and what have you, they'll argue, well, they pay for jobs. You know, they keep some people employed, factory labor jobs. And then they'll argue, well, they pay for taxes. They own the property and they're paying a real estate tax every year, or they might pay some sort of tangible tax, or they might pay, you know, some sort of to be in business type of tax, but that so does everybody else. Everybody that has a business has to pay those taxes too, so they're not special that way. That doesn't make it a special situation somehow because they got to pay a tax. What's interesting is that they don't pay for the water, and that's very special. That's extremely special that they have commodified a natural resource and they pay nothing for it other than to the private interest, which they have this private contract because they bought the permit.
Our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. She's with Our Santa Fe River Incorporated. We're talking about water and the springs and the Floridan aquifer and who gets to take that water out of the aquifer and use it to make a lot of money, even when there's a possible drinking water shortage in Florida right now and for sure in the future. This is 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 12:41 in the afternoon. Let's go back to the full phone lines. I won't give out the number right now because it's full. Let's hear from Jackie in Largo. Hi, Jackie. What would you like to say?
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I've lived here all my life, and I have been, you know, involved in environmental issues, and I even went to college and work, and you know, my whole life is centered around it. And it just seems like it just keeps getting worse. Like, no matter how many people show up, no matter how loud we yell, you know, no matter, you know, if we lay our bodies across the river, it just seems like it just keeps getting worse. And like what you just said about them not paying, it just seems so surreal to me. And I can't even get my own family to stop drinking bottled water. And I've been talking to them for years about it. It's just so frustrating. And then when I have a question, like, as a homeowner, you pay the city or the county or whoever, you know, to use water, extract water from the ground and you, you know, to use it. And then on top of that, if you buy bottled water, you're paying for your water twice, aren't you?
Yep.
And I'll hang up and... Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for that call, Jackie. I appreciate that. The 813-239-9663. Now we have a line open, so if you'd like to call in. But our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. And Marilee, let's just take another call, if that's all right. I think, I'll read this email first, and then we'll go to the phone again. Bert says, I believe we need to get rid of the plastic. They should put a 25-cent deposit fee on the bottles. No more pumping. Maybe create more point-of-purchase machines with the local economy could deal with it and perhaps make a profit. So that's a suggestion out there in Clearwater from Bert. Thank you for that. Also, let's go to the phones now. Chris in Clearwater. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I am all for Nestle being stopped at all costs. For my water, I do think that municipal water is a huge problem to drink, to ingest the chlorine, the fluoride, the alpha, beta, photon emitters, the radioactive waste that, as you mentioned, Mosaic puts out. Every time there's these huge rains from the gypsum stacks, there is a great discharge into our waterways, and that's radioactive, as well as the sinkhole in Mulberry that happened in 2016 that could have been prevented, which is a whole another we don't have time for right now. But what we could use is technologies like lasers. If you do a search for laser radioactive waste decay, you'll find that radioactive isotopes with half-lives of millions of years can be neutralized in less than an hour, and it can be used in water, too. So if you just add water to that search term of lasers, radioactive waste decay, water, you'll find there's a Nobel Prize winner earlier this year, back in April, talking about it. I think that Mosaic and other, maybe government or Mosaic or both, ought to have these kinds of remediation available whenever there's a sinkhole or disaster or just in general as a common practice. And for my water, I go down to the Watermill Express dispensers and test their water. It comes out about 3 parts per million because they maintain them more often than the Glacier dispensers that you can also get water at. So you can reduce your or stop your use of plastics if you go with glass. And I ionize my water. Once I take that, I ionize it through my water ionizer at home, which further neutralizes not radioactive waste, but most other toxins, breaks them down. So that way, and it has a lot of, ionized water has a lot of health benefits as well. So that's how I avoid the municipal water. And if you look at the annual water quality analysis for each municipality, It's called the Consumer Confidence on Water Quality. You'll see that for alpha, beta photon emitters, likely source of contamination is natural and man-made runoff. So Mosaic does have something to do with that. And for fluoride, it says that the likely source of contamination is industrial discharge. It's not even pharmaceutical grade, which shouldn't be swallowed anyhow. There's no form of fluoride that is safe. But here it's unrefined, so there are so many different other problems with drinking the tap water that I needed to address, but those are just some basics.
All right. Well, thank you for those, Chris. And I think, Marilee, you addressed that earlier in the sense that, you know, one alternative to bottled water, or I guess it shouldn't be the alternative, but is just improving the infrastructure. If we have water that's not perfect, you know, in quotes, the word perfect, that's coming out of our municipal supplies, that there's ways that governments could make sure that their municipal water supplies, by updating the pipes or the sanitation, the purification protocols and things like that, so that the water that we already have is safer to drink.
Yep, that's right. And I think this is just a marketing ploy of a huge corporate industry that has us kind of shamboozled that somehow we need their product when we should be focused on our own source of water in our own backyards or through our own taps.
All right, so we're talking about the Suwannee River Water Management District being asked by Nestle, essentially, to take out 1 million gallons of water a day from the Ginny Springs area, the Santa Fe River area. And one of the things I hope that the Suwannee River Water Management District will consider are the Florida Department of Environmental Protection permit rules regarding the water withdrawal. And according to what you've written, you say that the rules by the DEP say there must be a reasonable beneficial use, which means that the use of water in such quantity as is necessary and consistent with the public interest. Do you think that this permit fits into those definitions?
Well, no, I don't think this permit fits into those definitions. Reasonable and beneficial to whom? And
all right, well, it looks like we just lost our guest. Our producer is going to try to get her back on the air right now. And yeah, so that's going to happen. But we can go to the phones in the meantime. And I hope she'll be right back with us. It looks like so let's go to someone who's been holding a long time. Michael in St. Petersburg, you're on the air. Now, keep in mind, our guest will probably be joining us during your conversation. But what would you like to say in the meantime?
Hello, Sean.
Hi.
That's sort of like a mic drop there, anyway.
True.
I've lived in Florida all my life, and that's all I've seen is destruction. I just sold a piece of property in North Florida, in Madison County. Your guest was talking about that. Right on the river, a giant anthill with trucks coming out of it caught my attention. I followed a truck to a bottling company. That was in 2008. And I counted over 100 trucks in just a short time, and I had to leave. Coming and going like a drive-through. I've never seen anything like it. It looked like a golf course with a hill with trucks coming in and out like little ants. And I saw that in 2008. And I'll take everything else offline. I hope your guest comes back. I do have to hitch on to what Chris said, though. And, of course, our former governor denies any science and wouldn't even mention some words that I won't say on the radio. But it's just incredible what we've seen here in Florida. Thanks, Sean, and thanks to your guest. Thanks, WMNF.
All right, thank you. Michael, thanks so much for adding your perspective. I appreciate that. 813-239-9663 if you'd like to talk about water and the importance of the Florida aquifer and drinking water and the idea that Nestle wants to pump 1 million gallons a day from springs near Ginny Springs in the Santa Fe River. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday. It's 12:50 in the afternoon. And Bob in Odessa has been holding a long time, and thanks so much for calling in. What would you like to say, Bob?
Hi. what I'm going to say is not going to be real popular, but, the plastic bottles, yes, those are a problem. Single-use plastic should be outlawed and greatly decreased. But the outrage over just the water itself.
I think we accidentally lost you. Hi, Marilee. We've got Marilee back. I apologize to Bob. He held for a really long time, and we'll put you back on, Bob. But I think in the process of us getting Marilee back, we dropped Bob. So, Bob and Odessa, I apologize. But welcome back, Marilee. So, our last caller, who you were off the line with, said that he had property in Madison County and watched 100 trucks come and go from this bottling plant in an hour. You had talked earlier about Madison County. I don't know if you'd like to comment on that or if you want to just go to another caller.
Yeah, in an hour. I mean, where we live in these rural areas, like your caller, we don't see much traffic. There really isn't a lot. And when you can sit on your front porch or in your front yard and count 100 semi-trucks going by carrying 8 pounds a gallon of water, and, you know, they're carrying anywhere from a few thousand to more than a few thousand gallons of water, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to see your own sustenance for your natural places, natural spaces, driving down the road to some other place to be consumed or to be tossed out. Nothing infuriates me more that not only do people buy bottled water, but then they don't drink it all. Like, how many times have you picked up a bottle of water where half of it's full or it's almost all full? I know when I do my river cleanups, I see those all day long. It's like we are so out of touch with the precious resource of fresh water that we have allowed companies like that to exist. That's how out of touch we are.
And I don't want to compare water, which is a necessity, to sand, but when you were saying that, it made me think of, well, what if you went down to your favorite beach and you just saw front-end loaders loading the sand from your beach and into truck after truck after truck, and then all of a sudden, wait, where did my beach go?
Exactly. That's how it feels for us in North Florida when we see these types of trucks passing by with our natural resources in them. It's like, they should stay here.
Our guest is Marilee Malwitz-Gibson. She's a board member with our Santa Fe River. And Crystal in Tarpon Springs, you're on the air. What would you like to say? Hi, Crystal. Can you turn down your phone, turn down your radio, rather, and talk into the phone? Otherwise, I'll put you on hold. All right, I'll come back to you. How about Daryl in Tampa? Hi, Daryl.
Hello. I've paddled that river and other areas there, and I've swam in most of those springs, including some of the very tiny ones, for over 40 years, and I've watched the degradation through the decades. Some of those smaller springs are not there anymore, and of course, as the guest would probably affirm, any of the people who I know of, one gentleman who's lived right by one of those smaller springs, and he can attest he's been there for decades, and he said the dramatic decrease in flow from those springs. I've been in some more major springs that used to be you couldn't swim down into it because the head pressure was so great. Now it's no problem. And but on top of all that, it's strange why we're subsidizing, as they're talking about all the trucks, etc. All that damage that happens to the highways and everything, are they paying for all that? Because we're basically subsidizing all this stuff, the destruction of our environment with the extraction, everything, the degradation of our public resources such as our roads and so on, and of course the use of plastic. But there is one thing that needs to be brought up, and that's Article 2, Section 7 of the state constitution, and I've never understood why people don't emphasize this more. Natural resources and scenic beauty, I'll read just the first paragraph. It shall be the policy of the state of to conserve and protect its natural resources and scenic beauty, adequate provision shall be made by law for the abatement of air and water pollution and of excessive and unnecessary noise and for the conservation and protection of natural resources. It's in our state constitution.
All right. Thanks for pointing that out, Daryl. So, Marilee, how are we doing on that one?
Yeah, we love to cite that passage, Daryl. It's interesting because the laws and the regulations are set up not only in Florida but federally to allow for harm. How much can you harm? Well, you can only harm this much, or you can only take out this much because this is all we're going to give you, because if you take out any more, then we're going to have more harm. And we see that with pollution problems. We see that with extraction businesses. where it's like, well, we'll allow you to pollute a little bit. You can only pollute this much with a nutrient pollution discharge elimination system permit, NPDES. We'll allow you to pollute. And so that's where the meat of our problems exist in the Constitution, or technically in the Florida statutes and in the Florida Administrative Code rules or laws, is that those are the places that dictate whether or not this permit can be issued, not this beautiful passage that our forefather, foremothers, four people in the state of Florida had the wisdom to write into our Constitution. They exist in these finer minutiae laws and regulations where we'll allow you to pollute, we'll allow you to harm. But none of it ever says we will not allow you to do this. It just doesn't occur in our state. And, again, the rights of nature, that's what that's all about, is changing the paradigm, changing the shift of consciousness where we have to protect, and you cannot harm our natural resources. You cannot harm these environments that are set up in their own inherent way. They end up protecting us by leaving them alone. The more we fetter with them and mess with them, the less protection not only do humans have, because our drinking water is foul or what have you, but the natural environments and the natural systems that we all live in, that we all share with nature.
Well, thank you for that call, Daryl. And our guest is Marilee Mulwitz-Gipson. She's a board member with our Santa Fe River. We're talking about water and drinking water in Florida and whether that should be extracted by big companies. I want to refer quickly to a 2017 Bloomberg Businessweek article that's making the rounds lately. Nestle makes billions bottling water it pays nearly nothing for. Nestle, and one of the things it points out is that Nestle has 100 bottled water factories in 34 countries. And the article quotes the company's former chief executive officer, Helmut Macher, who said in a 1994 interview with the New York Times, "Springs are like petroleum. You can always build a chocolate factory, but springs you have or you don't have." So, I think he understood the importance of water. I guess it's up to Floridians to understand the importance of water as well.
It is. It's up to all of us. We just have to get... I can't even believe I'm saying this after 16 years of fighting off bottled water, that I'm even in this position again to fight off yet another one. The complicating factor, of course, in this particular situation is it's fighting off one that exists. We fought off ones that didn't exist, and we were able to stop them, but to fight off a corporate entity or a structure, there's a plant, there's a permit, there's roadways, there's infrastructure, there's pipelines, there's wells that go to the plant. There's a 40-acre pipeline that sends the water to the plant. To fight off something that exists is the upward battle that we are all having to deal with today because we allowed these corporate structures to just run amok.
Well, I want to read an email from Dave. He says, "Good afternoon. I feel that any government agency, local or state, that they're only interested in corporate profits. The constituents are being ignored. It seems that they know what's best for you, and that's the government's position." So thank you for that email from Dave. Jeanette writes, as the email loads, Jeanette writes, "I always boycott Nestle. They steal water and ruin the natural nature wherever they go." And she sends a link. So thank you, Jeanette, for that email. And I also want to thank our guests. Thank you so much for spending the hour on WMNF's Midpoint Monday, Marilee.
Hey, thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure. I love WMNF. I've been a listener supporter since the 1980s. So thank you for having me back.
Well, thank you for that. And thanks so much for coming on our show. Marilee Mulwitz-Gipson is a board member with our Santa Fe River Incorporated. Last week, she co-authored an op-ed that was published in the Orlando Sentinel called "Nestle, Taking Water from the Aquifer for Private Profit Isn't in the Public Interest." And I want to thank all the people who called. We got 13 people on the air today, so thank you very much for people who called, emailed, and texted. If you'd like to leave a voicemail about your thoughts, if you're still on the line and I didn't get to you, you can call me at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show. And if you missed any of this show, you can listen to it again on our website. I'll have it up this afternoon. It'll be at WMNF.org/news. I'll include a whole bunch of links, including some events that are coming up soon in the High Springs area. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox. and all of our great volunteers. I'm going to indulge you for a couple. I hope you indulge me for a couple minutes. Yesterday, our volunteer awards, our Lifetime Achievement Award went to the Reverend Pat Hauser. The Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Award for Board of Directors went to Lauren Adrianson. New Volunteer of the Year, Carol Arenas. Volunteer of the Year, Frank Knox. Programmers of the Year, the Lulus. New Programmer of the Year, Joy Katzen Guthrie. Overnight Programmer of the Year, Ira Hankin. News and Public Affairs Volunteer of the Year, Blanny Whalen. New News Public Affairs Volunteer of the Year, Tanya Vitovic, and Operations Volunteer, Bill Grace. There were others, but thank you to all of our great volunteers. Stay tuned right now for Latino 54. Tomorrow, your hero, Mark Bureau, on Midpoint Tuesday, coming up on